Hey, so if I go to BJJFanatics.com, what do I need to search for in order to find three awesome instructionals?
All you really need to do is put in ROZ. And Gravity Is Your Friend, Escapes for Guys Over 40, and Be a Hammer, Smash the Knees pop up. And those are the three that you've done so far.
Yes, and in January, I'll be going back to Boston to recruit a handful more. So stay tuned. More awesomeness on BJJ Fanatics coming your way.
We have all had that situation where after class is when we want to ask a question. And Thomas, a lot of those questions you've already answered, right, at Ask a Black Belt.
Yeah, it's another podcast that I'm running. It's on podcast, all podcast platforms, plus on YouTube. You can find it anywhere. Just search for my name. Search for Ask a Black Belt. At this point, over 100 episodes, different questions, jiu-jitsu, life-related, but something that everybody comes across, and often these questions sink in our mind, but we don't ask for whatever reason. So if that benefits you, go there, listen. It actually might help your jiu-jitsu, might help your life as well. And if you have any questions, find me on Instagram and drop me a line. I'll be happy to answer your question and mention your name during the episode.
Welcome to Raw Radio.
And we are laughing.
There we go.
That was funny.
What was funny?
We're not going to repeat it, but it was funny.
Well, why bring it up?
Because it was funny. I'm still laughing about it. how was your New Year's, by the way?
How was my New Year's? It was very quiet.
Yeah. So, like, we can say, but, like, this is officially the first episode we record this year, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We have
takeaway of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
even
sure.
Even though not the first release this year, but this is the first recording. How was your New Year's, by the way?
It was quiet. Yeah. Just me and the kids. Margaret was working.
Did you stay
she
up?
Got home by yeah, Maddie, my daughter, really wanted to stay up. So her and I stayed up, everybody else went to bed. And we watched a couple episodes of the TV show Wednesday and shut it off right. I turned it off. I flipped to a local channel, and right at 10, 9, 8, like it was perfect timing. So we said Happy New Year, and then she got up and went to bed.
Well, it was better than me because I went to bed, I think, at 10.
and she went to my bed. So when I went about an hour later to actually go to sleep, there was two kids, a dog, and Margaret in my bed. So I just walked back out of the room.
And happy slept New on the Year couch. To you.
Yeah. Happy New Year to my sore neck and my very poor night's sleep. My sister was coming over the next day, and I was like, waking up again for the fifth time at like 4 a.m. I was like, oh, I'm going to cancel. I'm not going to ever come over and stuff. But that was New Year's. Yours in bed by 10?
Yeah. No, I think this is, I don't know, like New Year's number two or three that I haven't.
You didn't make it?
I didn't. It's not that I don't make it. Like, I could, but I just chose not to. Yeah. Like, and it's so ironic because typically when I work and I, you know, by the time we wrap up, it's 10, 10:30.
Yeah, you're always up to
I freaking go home, get home, before 11, around 11. I don't go to bed until 1. Like, I truly don't. And then, vacation, like 10 o'clock, gone. Pull day tomorrow.
It just says you don't work hard enough. And when you're on vacation, you work harder. That's all.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, are we supposed to talk about anything today?
As always, this conversation gets sidetracked. But, we started this year pretty good, right? Chewy last week, I think that was a phenomenal conversation. Michelle Nicolini this time, big names who, paved the path essentially or have done in the past. in very different domains, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Julie definitely with his academy and then online presence. But Michelle does a very different type of work, you know, heavily involved in female, in Brazil, in Europe, you know, and she competes quite a bit, you know. And, you know, I was mentioning during the episode, you know, she is the one of those few that kind of created that pathway for many, especially for women.
Yeah.
You know, there was not many before them, few, but not many before her, you know. So she, you know, I think many would consider her as a pioneer of female jiu-jitsu.
She was doing it, you know, it doesn't seem like that long ago, but she said that, you know, once she didn't have black belts to train with until she became a black belt.
Black belt females.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, two different paths, two different worlds, but very influential both.
Yeah. But one of the things that struck me, and we kind of agreed on it, you know, she mentioned, I think, two or three times where, you know, being a white belt again, and it kind of stuck in my mind. So let's chat about that a little bit, right? Like, as we go through, as we inquire new information, you know, and we go through this journey of jiu-jitsu, at some points we develop, you know, they call it a system, your game, whatever, you know, subset of things that you prefer, you like, and so on, right? But as usual, it's a very small subset of the entire bubble of jiu-jitsu, if you will. And there's all the other things that we ignore, either by choice or just by simply, you know, just tossing it off to the side.
Right.
You know, but at some point, we all come to that, especially if you continue training. So there's just the assumptions here is that you train for a decade or two and so on, and we haven't met for a long time. You come to the realization that the things that you toss to the side or you ignore them, they, you know, you still need to dip into them. It's just you don't like them as much. And I think that is that point right there. It's the point where a lot of students, you know, roll their eyes, make huffing and puffing, and the other things, I don't like this. Especially if that's pushed down from the instructor. You know, hey, you need to know takedowns.
Forced to do it.
Yeah, you need to know how to pass guard, but I don't like the guard. You know, like, you know, you need to figure this out. You need to figure out your side control escapes or whatever the case is, you know, guard retention, right? Excuse me. You know, so the bottom line is that we are put in these situations when we don't like doing or learning the specific thing, you know, and that puts a lot of, well, undesired pressure. I mean, that's bottom line what it is, right? It's like we are put in front of this fact of, well, I need to do this, but I really don't like it. Why do you think we find ourselves in this mental state of like, you know, I'll never use this. I don't care about this. This is useless. You know, it never works for me. That's a good one. It never works for me. Mm-hmm. You know, why do you think that we find ourselves in these mental blocks, if you will, unwillingness to learn new things?
It could probably be a bunch of different reasons, but I'm going to guess it doesn't come as easy as the other stuff. So,
but how do you know it doesn't come easy if you've never tried it?
I don't think you've ever, never, talking about jiu-jitsu, I don't think you can say you've never tried it. I would assume at some point you're a purple belt or whatever. You've had to take somebody down. You've had to do takedowns at some class at some point. You know, you were forced to do it and it didn't come as easy, or you didn't like it. You weren't as successful. Maybe
that's a big one.
Okay. So you're not as successful. So you go back to what brings you success or where your comfort zone is.
And, so you gravitate towards easy.
Yeah. Or not easy. Maybe I don't want to make it like an easy or a challenging thing, but what you found success with. So because everybody was a beginner, right? So you start out in class and, you know, maybe your academy, whatever, you don't start standing in the beginning. And so you're naturally develop these skills where you're not taking anybody down or you're not even being taken down. So when you start doing that, there's probably apprehension, more nervousness than before. So the success rate isn't the same as pulling guard for you. And therefore you avoid it. And then it's years and years later and you've developed this whole other thing, right? And in Michelle's case, she went from strictly BJJ, to MMA very rapidly. And so she had to learn wrestling. She had to learn stand up. And you know, you can't pull guard in an MMA fight. You just can't. And I mean, so she,
you can,
well, yeah, go for it. not that I'm some expert coach or anything, but I'd be interested to see. I haven't seen too many people with successful careers, but, right. So she was a white belt again, she felt. And, I think it's the same way, you know, on a much smaller scale, not as drastic, just being in your regular classes where,
you know, do you think that mental block or the hesitance comes from the fact that by definition of going back to the white belt, we're going to have to fail again?
And sure.
And because we've done, we are an expert. We are an expert in this area that we've been doing for very, 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 very long time. And then by us reaching into a brand new area and putting ourselves in a vulnerable position, an almost guaranteed failure and continuous process of new learning new things, do you think that's where the apprehension comes from for a lot of people? And they just don't want to do that. I don't want to put myself in that spot.
Yeah, winning is fun.
Of course, right? It is.
Being better than the person next to you is fun. You know, we always say put yourself in bad positions in jiu-jitsu, right? And work out of them. Mm-hmm. It's not just a bad position you're putting yourself in, but you're putting yourself in something that you're definitely not good at, something that you haven't worked on, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're going to fail, not only are you going to fail at what you're specifically trying to do, but it's going to set off a chain of events where you're not going to get to those comfortable places that you really like and enjoy.
Well, yeah, absolutely, right? Because you have to that's a completely separate domain of what you're used to or what you are an expert in.
Yeah, and I mean, like, if you take it to an extreme where you're going, okay, jiu-jitsu, guard puller, off your back, but now you're putting on gloves and you got to stand up. I mean, that's an extreme case. Mm-hmm. And I think it takes you either got to be really motivated to try something like that or really pushed into it, you know, or know that if you don't, you're not going to succeed at all. You're going to get stagnant. You know, things are going to, this is it. This is the stopping point for you.
I guess what bothers me or like it's mind blowing for me, the simple fact of your chair is squeaking like now. Yeah, that's you. Mm-hmm. For the record. But it was mind-blowing for me is that more often than not, in that kind of topic, we are unwilling to try because we don't like it, don't want to, or, you know, we just don't prefer this new thing. But we've never done that thing. So, like, you talked about, you know, a purple belt, done few takedowns. But doing few takedowns that you don't know how to do is not trying new takedowns. Like, by definition, that just doesn't work. You're half-assing it, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't understand the mechanics here. By going to a judo class or school and understanding takedowns and doing that for 6 months or a year, okay, I think now that gives you the right for a judgment. Now it gives you the right to, you know, pass some kind of opinion on whether this is for you or this is not for you. How is one to even express their view on something that they've never done? And I'm doing quotes here, but, you know, doing it half-assing once in a class because you saw on Instagram is not doing it.
Right. We do it all the time. People do it all the time with everything, not just jiu-jitsu, but anything. You get a little bit of knowledge and you think that it's either for you or not for you, or you know better than the next person, or, you know, you're an expert all of a sudden. You know, there's a quote, you know, just enough, you know, just enough to get yourself in trouble.
Oh yeah. To be dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And not dangerous, like, you know,
yeah.
In a good way.
No, dangerous.
Somebody's going to get hurt or something bad's going to happen. You know, people do that all the time, because it takes effort to go to do the other thing.
And commitment and routine and
discipline and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
So, and most of the time we are not willing to do that. Yeah. That's the interesting topic, you know, like going back. At the same time, there's a lot of people I think who do gravitate towards being the white belt again. Like we hear that phrase. I hear that phrase all the time. Like it was actually refreshing. Actually, a lot of black belts say that. Like it's actually refreshing not to be an instructor. It's refreshing to be in a class and learn. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this is why, and like, secret is out. This is why I love bringing people for seminars to Roll Academy, because I am not the instructor. Like, I can sit back. And a lot of the times, like, I don't even participate in training. I just watch. Mm-hmm. I sponge the information in, you know, and it's like, it's very refreshing to see somebody else showcase their art, their profession, the things that they mastered. Mm-hmm. And I'm the recipient. I'm no longer the center of attention where everybody's looking at me, you know? And it's, I think in a way, it's actually, you know, it's appreciated where I can actually enjoy the other side mm-hmm. of this presentation.
Well, I think at some point when you get good at something, you have to start looking for new goals, things to achieve, trying new things. And a lot of times for people that, you know, are white, blue, purple, they're not that good and they're not that...
Well, they think they are.
Well, yeah. But no, that's... they're not that confident in their capabilities and what they know. So doing the other is even... more pressure. It's even scarier. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe that adds into it a little bit too. Going back to Michelle, she won everything there was to win in BJJ, gi and no gi. And where did you go from there? Somebody offered her an opportunity to fight. Why not? You know, I'll try it. Why not? And then realize that, okay, if I'm going to do this again, you know, and she was successful, but if I'm going to do this again, I'm really going to have to learn all these other things. I'm not going to be able to rely on BJJ for these, you know, I'm going to have to take people down.
There's more to it. Yeah. Yeah. And, we're stepping into a different domain.
Right. So she's going to accept those challenges, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard. I think it's hard if you don't have the background and the solid foundation or the confidence to try new things.
How do you look at this being white belt again? So how long you've been? I know
I'm always a white belt.
But how do you look at the perspective, the conversation of learning new things, right? Because I mean, you're finding yourself in this position when this learning curve is continuous, and you're clearly loving jiu-jitsu. Otherwise, I shouldn't say
don't
that.
Don't
get crazy. You know, how you look at this, how you look at the perspective of learning new things. Are you willing to put yourself in a vulnerable spot being a white belt again?
Always. I think that, you know, age might have a factor in that. You know, my own personal history might play a factor in that. But if you don't, you're not going to learn. If you don't, in jiu-jitsu, you're not going to know how to defend. So, you know, you don't have to become an expert in certain things, but at least you have to have a base knowledge of it in order to defend it, see it coming, things like that. And how do you grow if you don't do new things? You know, we've talked about this before. So if you're really good at one thing, somebody's going to figure it out. And once it's figured out, everybody's going to be able to figure it out. And then you're not good at anything. So, I don't know, be mediocre at everything.
Yeah, well, listen, it works for some.
You know, you can have more fun that way.
Yeah.
You know? And if you don't, how do you grow? How do you grow mentally if you don't try new things? You know? Never get out of a rut either. You know, you'll get stuck in those plateaus. And you'll never get out of it.
Don't start me on plateaus.
I know.
Don't start me on that.
They're real.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are. But you got to figure it out, right? And how do you figure it out? You got to reevaluate, or you got to try something new, you know?
Well, everybody trying knows. Trying something new is what we are talking about.
Absolutely.
Now.
Yeah. So that's how you get yourself out of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I do think that our mind is stopping us from doing a lot of things, and it's all.
What else would stop you?
Well, I mean, you know, I think you ask average person, and they'll give you a list of laundry list of reasons why they don't do things that they would love to do.
Those are we've talked about it a lot. Those are most often than not, they're excuses. They're not reasons.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But yet here we are talking about it.
Yeah.
Wipeable again. Let's do it all over again.
See you
later.
Thank you for listening to Raw Radio. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review and help us make the show even more amazing. For future episodes, check out our website and follow us on all major podcast platforms. Take care.